This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. Defending Iditarod champion Jesse Holmes and his perky team of sled dogs made a brisk run down Front Street about 9:30 p.m. Tuesday to deliver the 44-year-old musher his second title in as many years. From the Denali Highway area, Holmes is the first repeat champion the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race has seen in a decade. He's the sixth musher to win the race consecutively since it started in 1973 and did so on two different courses, a 1,130-mile reroute out of Fairbanks due to a lack of snow in 2025 and the normal 1,000-mile northern route out of Willow this year. Iditarod fans cheered and celebrated the race and St. Patrick's Day as the temperature dipped below zero and police vehicles escorted the 12-dog team, led by Zeus and Polar, down Front Street to the Burled Arch finish line. As of Tuesday evening, Bethel's Pete Kaiser was in 10th place after pulling out of the Elim checkpoint just after 5 p.m. The U.S. Senate on Tuesday narrowly agreed to take up a voting bill that President Trump says is essential for survival of the country, and opponents say will disenfranchise millions of Americans. Senator Lisa Murkowski was the only Republican who voted not to open debate on the Save America Act. It would require voters to show photo ID at the polls and provide proof of citizenship to register. Murkowski says the devil is in the details.
People around the country are looking at this and saying this should be a no-brainer. Of course, U.S. citizens should be the ones that have the right to vote. Of course, it is not unreasonable to require voter ID. What's the problem here? But you need to not be afraid to just peel this back and look at the implementation.
Murkowski has a long list of items in the bill that she says would make it harder for Alaskans to cast a ballot. She cites, among other things, the requirement that new registrants present citizenship documents to an elections official in person. That, she says, might require an 18-year-old who lives in Unalaska to spend more than $1,000 on an airplane ticket, and hopefully she has an official copy of her birth certificate in hand.
But if she doesn't, it's a two-month wait right now at Vital Statistics to get the certified documents that you need.
An amendment Trump is pressing for would eliminate voting by mail, except for people who are ill, away on military assignment, or a few other circumstances. More than 50,000 Alaskans voted by mail in the last general election. Proponents of the bill can think of reasonable solutions for Alaska. Former Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, who served in the first Trump administration, says for new registrations, the state could send an elections official to the roughly 200 Alaska communities that are off the road system and don't have a Division of Elections office.
If you don't want citizens to have to come to the election officials, then election officials need to go to the citizens.
The state would need to get moving quickly. The SAVE Act would stiffen voter registration requirements immediately after the president signs it, but it's not clear he'll have that chance. Just 51 senators voted Tuesday to start debate. That's far short of the 60 votes it would take to overcome a filibuster. The head of a powerful Senate committee is calling for stronger legislative oversight and changes to state oil and gas taxes as the developer of the Alaska LNG project approaches a final investment decision. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, the sponsor says it's an effort to ensure the state gets a fair deal if a North Slope gas pipeline moves forward. But others worry it could have a chilling effect on the project.
Anchorage Republican Senator Kathy Geisel calls it the Alaska Gas Line Transparency and Accountability Act. And she says it would update state law to reflect a very different project than lawmakers considered the last time the legislature passed a major gas line bill in 2014.
It's our responsibility to make sure that we are getting value for this gas.
The bill is sprawling and complex. A document from Geisel's office lists 16 different topics covered in the 37-page bill. But first, a quick reminder of what we're talking about. The state is currently partnering with the private developer Glenfarne to advance the Alaska LNG project. It includes an 800-mile pipeline taking gas from the North Slope to South Central for both in-state use and for export, plus processing plants at each end of the line. Geisel says the bill is all about making sure the state and Alaskans actually benefit if the pipeline goes forward. For now, she says she's not sure Alaskans will.
What we're looking at is how to ensure that this pipeline actually brings gas to Alaskans that we can afford and that it doesn't leave us with a tremendous debt or infrastructure that's only partially completed because a company went bankrupt and left the state.
Giesel says she's frustrated that so many details about the project's finances have become confidential since the state turned over 3/4 of the project to Glenfarne. And some elements of the bill seek to give lawmakers and the public more transparency. For instance, the Alaska Gasline Development Corporation would have to disclose major investors and gas buyers associated with the project, and it couldn't do business with a foreign entity without lawmakers' approval. And it would set up a system that could allow legislators to sign confidentiality agreements to view non-public information, like updated cost estimates or internal projections. Giesel says that's essential information for lawmakers.
They're not used to understanding what we need to know and what our focus is. So at this point, I think we have a failure to communicate.
Other pieces of the bill would change the state's oil and gas tax system to make sure the state would actually make money from the gas line. It's still early days. The bill just had its first hearing a few days ago, and that means it's hard to say for now how far it'll go in the 2 months or so remaining in the legislative session. But the bill is already taking some heat. Fairbanks Republican Senator Rob Myers, a member of the All-Republican Minority Caucus, says some of the provisions make sense, like beefing up the legislature's ability to audit the gas line agency. But he says for the most part, the bill goes too far.
It's a lot more going on than just oversight and accountability and transparency. This is the state moving to take over more and more of the project.
And he says the sheer fact that the bill exists, whether it passes or not, could have a chilling effect. He says it's hard enough to convince customers or investors that this project deserves their money.
If the attitudes in this bill that are expressed are what we are projecting out to investors, especially where we're altering the deal at this stage of the development, who's going to want to invest with us?
Giesel and some other allies in the Democrat-heavy bipartisan majority coalition say they're not trying to block the project. But Giesel says she didn't review the bill with Glenfarne before ruling it out publicly. Glenfarne, for what it's worth, says the existing legal framework has taken the project to the cusp of becoming a reality and would generate millions in tax revenue. But in a statement, the committee stopped short of opposing the bill outright and would not say whether the bill would make a pipeline more or less likely to move forward. For now, Glenfarne says its biggest ask of the legislature this session is for a break on property taxes. That is not a part of Giesel's bill, but Governor Mike Dunleavy says he plans to introduce a bill in that vein in the coming days. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yoktun Ganumchit. Coming up.